going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse!
Just a reminder, everybody. Just a reminder that after a night like last night, we do have him. We've got him coming back. Good morning, kind of. Caps lose, Nats lose. They haven't won in a while. And the Wizards went full on Wizards last night, getting the worst possible outcome in the NBA draft lottery. Sixth. They're not going to pick first. They're so far away from Cooper Flagg that they may end up with a queen, which would be nice too. Bob Carrington was there for the team last night in Chicago for the drawing. He's actually responsible for a spot worse in the draft. I know many of you weren't following this, but in the season finale, he made a buzzer beater to beat Miami, which made it so that the Wizards had the second worst record in the NBA, not the worst record, which meant their worst case was sixth instead of fifth. Thanks, Bub. I actually like Bub. I thought he was a really good player this year. Derek Queen, maybe, at six for you Terp fans like me. For Danny in Rockville, Danny in Rockville was relentless. When I suggested in January that Derek Queen was a lottery pick, and at the time, he may have been in some mock late first rounders, late first round, mock drafts. And I said, no chance. There's no way he's escaping the lottery. In fact, he'll probably be a top 10 pick. And actually, a lot of the mocks after last night have Derek Queen somewhere in that top six range. So maybe. The baby Terp ends up staying home and playing with Bub Carrington, also a Baltimore guy. And I think somebody told me that they are friends. What a disastrous night. Look, I know it doesn't guarantee anything, but what I suggested yesterday, I think is true, is that while Cooper Flagg or even a Dylan Harper, there's no guarantee of anything in the NBA. The bottom line is it would have changed the current relevancy status for the Wizards organization. They are, and I hate to say this because they are a favorite team of mine and have been throughout my life. I'm a born and raised Washingtonian, as many of you know, and the Bullets slash Wizards have been one of my passions of many, many years. I am old enough to remember 78 and 79 and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld and Bobby Dandridge and Phil Chenier, and certainly got into some of the teams, you know, along the way here in this century, the, you know, Gilbert, Caron teams, you know, Antoine teams. Much more so, I had a stronger feel for the Beal, Wall, Gortat, Nene, Trevor Ariza team. I thought those teams actually weren't championship contenders, but had a chance to participate deep, deep into the postseason and nearly did a couple of times. They were a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. 8 years ago, by the way, 8 years ago last night, 8 years ago last night was John Wall's game six shot. I was there that night when he jumped up on the scorer's table and said, "My town." And they went to game seven in Boston and lost a competitive game. Beal was phenomenal in that game. And, you know, they had a chance a couple of years earlier against Atlanta, but John broke his hand and missed the rest of that series. But they've been an irrelevant franchise for so long, and what Cooper Flagg would have guaranteed, at least for a period of time, call it a year or two, it would have guaranteed the Wizards would have been in the conversation about NBA basketball. They're not. No one even brings them up in the course of an NBA conversation. They are a truly irrelevant franchise. Now, one of the reasons is because of what they're doing, and I'm all for it. I'm totally for the process that they're going through. It would just be nice if along the way, a couple of the ping pong balls went their way, because they need that. No guarantee Cooper Flagg's going to be the answer at number one. He's a very, very highly thought of prospect. Not Victor Wembanyama, as we talked about yesterday. Probably not even Zion Williamson. But as good as any other than those two in recent years. But the nature of Cooper Flagg, okay, being a Dookie, B, really good, C, the first American-born white player to go number one overall in 50 years, would have made the team the focus of a lot of league conversation. Certainly to monitor the growth of Cooper Flagg and his career. But anyway, we know from the NBA, witness Jokic, Giannis, Kawhi, the lists go on and on. The Golden State Warriors didn't build their dynasty with number one overall. You've got to be really good at evaluating talent, and you got to find that next Jokic, that next Giannis, that next Steph. You got to find those players beyond number one, and that's the job of the Wizards' new, or now not so new, front office. I'm all for the process. It would have been fun had they gotten number one overall. But the conspiracy theorists and the it's rigged stuff, you're just not going to get me to do that. I don't mind it. It doesn't annoy me when people scream that. I think most adults understand that if that actually did happen, people would go to jail. That's what would happen if this was actually rigged. But I will suggest something coming up here in this opening segment that I do think is unfair about the process. We'll get to that momentarily. Max is with me. Right now, we've got a potential guest or two, but nobody confirmed for the show. So it may just be us today. And there is a lot of breaking legitimate official NFL schedule news. We now know, you know, all of the international games. We now know Washington's Week 16 opponent. We now know Washington's Week 11 opponent for sure. We're not talking about leaks. We're not talking about, you know, is it true, isn't it? This is from the league and the league's network partners. Washington will play in Madrid on Sunday, November 16th, week 11 of the NFL season against the Miami Dolphins. First international game for Washington since 2016. They were in London against the Bengals, a season that ultimately came down to a couple of plays in terms of the playoffs, and one of them was a Dustin Hopkins chunked field goal from 30 yards out in overtime that would have won the game. Instead, Washington tied it, and that, along with a couple of other missed kicks that he had, and a Kirk Cousins interception in the season finale, cost them back-to-back playoff opportunities for the first time in 27 years. Now, they have a chance to do that again this year, and that's why I came into this show with something positive. Jaden Daniels, we still have him. Washington's two games now we know are official. Number one is Week 11 against the Dolphins in Madrid, and Fox announced Week 16, December 20th, against Philadelphia at home. Now, for me, in terms of the mock, I got Madrid right, and I had it before any of the leaks, okay? Going back to last week when this was finalized. And I had Philadelphia in Week 16 correct. I had it at Philly, not at home, and I had it on Sunday, December 21st, and this game's going to be played on Saturday, December 20th. Now, no official time for that game because Packers-Bears was the other announced Fox game on Saturday, December 20th. Two things about the announcement of a Week 16 doubleheader on Fox, that being Philly, Washington, and Green Bay, and Chicago. I think Green Bay, Chicago is on Fox. Washington, Philadelphia will be on Fox. Two things about that. Number one, the NFL last year, when they went up against opening round college football playoff games, the triple header last year, remember, college football's first weekend with 12 means the top four get byes, and then it's 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, and 8 versus 9 in the first round with home sites. We got that last year. You get the first game on a Friday night and a triple header on Saturday. The NFL went head-to-head with college football's triple header, and they said it was out of necessity and that they didn't want to do it and they would try to avoid it in the future. That was their statement last year. And the reason they had to do it is because they got the Netflix money for Christmas Day on a Wednesday, and they couldn't play the teams that were going to play on Christmas Day on Sunday and then have them play on Wednesday. So they had to play those teams on Saturday. So it was Houston, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, KC, and then they mixed them up and played them, the same four teams in different matchups on Christmas Day. But they played them head-to-head with the college football triple header. And the NFL did make a statement saying this is not our intention on a regular basis. You know, the NFL and college football have had a great relationship over the years when it comes to things like this. Now the NFL has moved in on Black Friday, and they are going to once again go head-to-head with college football's first round, a triple header on Saturday. As a college football fan and a massive college football fan, I think this is a bad move by the NFL. Now, the NFL will outrate the college football games. They did last year. You know, not by a lot, not by a lot, but they did outrate the college football games. But that college football first round last year with games in Happy Valley and in Columbus, and that was spectacular. And I didn't think the NFL would do it, but they're doing it, and they're basically saying to college football now, yeah, we love you. And we appreciate the nice, not only feeder system, but the exposure that the players get playing big-time college football and sort of the name brand recognition they have coming into our league. But we're still going to play our games when we want to play our games. And Washington, Philadelphia will be on that weekend. Now, I thought that one of the Washington, Philadelphia games would get saved for that weekend, and it would not end up being week 18. Because week 18 is a little bit dicey when you try to schedule the big-time division matchup in week 18. Because a lot of times you get to week 18, we know this, and the game is meaningful for one team, maybe not so much for the other. They've clinched something. They may rest, you know, starters, etc. So they try to play those big heavyweight division matchups. Sometimes you can't avoid it, and sometimes you schedule it, and you're thinking, you know, let's just say Washington plays the Giants this year in the final weekend of the season. They may think, yeah, the Giants aren't going to be any good, but they might be. Who knows? But that Philadelphia-Washington second game was going to be either week 16 or week 17. Now, the other thing about the two games that we know of for Washington now, for sure, the Miami game and the December 20th game. The December 20th game, in the four teams that are playing, I'm wondering if they're going to do the same thing they did last year, which is the four teams playing on December 20th will end up playing on Christmas Day. Now, last year they had to do it because Christmas Day was on a Wednesday. You can't play Sunday and then go to Wednesday. The NFL goes Sunday to Thursday all the time, and Christmas Day this upcoming year is on Thursday. But is it possible that Washington, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Green Bay will all be involved in Christmas Day games? Now, I've seen Chiefs-Broncos mentioned as potentially one Christmas Day game. I don't think I've seen that officially from the league, though.
I think Prime officially put it out there last night.
Did Prime put that one out officially?
I believe so. I remember seeing the tweet last night.
Okay. If that's true, it is a triple header on Christmas Day. So there are two other games. And if that's the primetime game, I'm wondering if maybe it's Washington-Chicago or Washington-Green Bay. I actually mocked Washington to Green Bay on Christmas Day. And because Green Bay is playing at Chicago and Washington is hosting, it would make sense that on Christmas Day, Green Bay's hosting, Washington's traveling. So that would be one of my all-time gets. If I get Washington at Green Bay Christmas Day. Now, does Madrid mean no Thanksgiving? I felt like it meant that it was either or. I didn't say it was a definite, but we had Mike North from the schedule-making team on the show in mid-April, and he definitely implied that Madrid and Thanksgiving may be an either-or situation. That if they get Madrid, they may not get Thanksgiving, but they would get they might get Christmas Day. That's what I mocked out, Madrid and Christmas Day versus Thanksgiving Day, and neither Madrid or Christmas Day. But there's still a chance they get Madrid, they come back, and there's a bye week, and they go to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. That is possible. But I don't think it's likely. I think we've got a Madrid and a Christmas Day game against Green Bay or Chicago, and because Green Bay Green Bay's traveling week 16 and Washington's hosting, it wouldn't shock me if it's Washington at Green Bay on Christmas Day. And that would be an afternoon game. It would not be prime time. So there you go. Still don't know the opener. Still don't know, anything else definitively, other than they're not playing Dallas, Kansas City, the Chargers, or Philadelphia on opening day. All of the international games are now set, with the exception of the league has not officially announced Chargers Chiefs for Brazil, but people think that that is coming. But how about the Vikings have to play two international games, but they're both road games. So you're talking about Minnesota has two of their scheduled road games in neutral site environments, in Dublin against Pittsburgh and in London against the Browns in back-to-back weeks. I think that's the first time that's happened for anybody other than Jacksonville. And then we did have a Monday night football game released November 10th, Packers-Eagles at Green Bay, it looks like. So there you go. That's what we've got NFL schedule-wise officially. And you're telling me you think that the Chiefs that the Chiefs and Broncos on Christmas night is official. I didn't see that officially from the league's website.
I saw Schefter put it out, so that's
okay.
That's my
source.
Well,
then I'll take that. I'll take Schefter. And then does that mean that Philadelphia, Chicago, and Black Friday was a Schefter tweet too?
I believe that sounds right. I want to double check and make sure, but I believe you are correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I am thinking that the Fox doubleheader on Saturday, December 20th, which is official, because the because Washington's at home and Green Bay is on the road, there's a really good chance it's Washington at Green Bay on Christmas Day.
If so, since the Bears and Eagles are already playing each other, and if they did the same thing where they swapped, like the
So Bears and Eagles have already played on Black Friday. If that's true, then the Eagles would have to play the Packers if those four teams are being, you know, put on Christmas Day. There's no guarantee that those four teams, you know, they did it last year because of the turnaround, because you couldn't go Sunday to Wednesday, but you can go Sunday to Thursday. You know, I thought maybe the four teams, but that's the excellent point. So Eagles Bears on Black Friday, if that is indeed official,
it is.
Means that it couldn't be Eagles Bears on Christmas Day, which means there'd be a better chance it would be Washington Chicago if it comes from the list of these four teams. You know, this group of four.
I said it on Twitter. Day. A Hail Mary rematch on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
A little on the nose for Roger Goodell in the NFL,
that would hit.
I'd like it.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. All right. That's all we know officially, I think, now. You know, that in addition to yesterday's Dallas Philly opening night announcement. Yes, I did tweet my mock schedule out because I wanted to tweet it out after we had done it on the air. And of course, I realize that Washington at Dallas for my season opener is incorrect. And I don't expect that all of you would know that, so I'm not knocking you. But I tweeted out my schedule, which included at Dallas on Sunday Night Football, and a lot of the responses were, hey, dope, they can't play Dallas on opening week. Dallas is playing Philadelphia. Yes, I am aware of that, but I didn't change my mock from last week. I left it as is, because that's the point, is to see how many I actually are even close to getting right. And Madrid and Philly on the right weekend, it's pretty good so far. I'll take it. All right. So on this draft lottery last night, I don't know if everybody's familiar with how this thing works. Like, this thing is audited. This thing is monitored. Look, what they did in 1985 and Patrick and Stern and the Knicks, I don't know. Maybe there was some shenanigans in that one. This, just so everybody understands, literally, if they did intentionally rig it, the people involved would go to jail for committing fraud at a high level, because this is a big, big business. I do understand the odds. I understand what it means for the Mavericks with a 1.8% chance to get number one overall, especially after they traded Luka to the Lakers. I get it. And it reeks. It does. But it's not rigged, people. It's not actually rigged. Now, here's where I think there is an absolute argument to be made. When you look at the results, and by the way, you know, for those that didn't know this, the Wizards going into this had a 47, near 48% chance, okay, so nearly a coin flip, of being in the fifth or sixth spot. The chances that they would get number one were 14%, so there was an 86% chance they wouldn't. The chances of getting a top two were only 27.5%. So the chances were 72.5% that they wouldn't. The chances, the highest percent chance was that they would get fifth overall. The second highest chance percent chance was that they would get sixth overall. If you didn't know that, I'm just sharing that with you. The way it works, basically, is that there are 1,004 ping pong ball combinations, and they weight it for the teams with the worst records, but they don't weight it the way they used to. In 2019, to avoid tanking at the end of the season, they gave the three worst teams in the league equal chances of getting number one overall. And they gave them 140 combinations out of 1,000, or 14%. So Utah and Charlotte and Washington each had a 14% chance to get number one overall. And then you keep going down the list until you get to the last team in the field, and that was five combinations overall, or a 0.5% chance. Five combinations of four ping pong balls out of 1,000 combinations. There is, and I read a lot about this late last night, there is one combination that they actually rule out. So there are four balls numbered 1 through 14. They draw four balls, and so there's a four-number combination. But to get it to 1,000, because there are actually 1,001 possible combinations with four balls numbered 1 through 14, you can do your factorial, your statistical factorial exercise to come up with it. But I'll just take my word. There are 1,001 possible combinations in any order. By the way, any order, it's just like a lottery. It doesn't matter what order they're pulled in. And they exclude the following combination, 11, 12, 13, 14. So if 11, 12, 13, 14 get pulled up, that gets excluded so that they can get down to 1,000 to make the percents cleaner. And the top three have a 14% chance. They're assigned 140 of the 1,000 possible winning combinations. But again, that means there's an 86% chance they're not getting number one overall. And in the Wizards' case, they had the second seed, or the second worst record. They had a 14% chance of getting the number one pick, a 13.42% chance of getting the second, a 12.75% of getting the third, and an 11.97% of getting the fourth. They only pull for the first four picks, and then after that, 5 through 14 are based on the remaining teams that didn't land in the top four in the lottery based on record. And that's why Bub Carrington's shot in the season finale against Miami cost the Wizards the worst record, which would have meant the worst case would have been the fifth pick. The worst case going in was sixth, and they got sixth. And there was a 1 in 5 chance of getting sixth, and there was a 47.86% chance that that they would get 5 or 6. Everything else was lower odds. It still stinks. It stinks because there was, you know, there's always a chance, and you're playing and losing all these games, and you're going to end up with multiple teams in front of you with much better records, including the Dallas Mavericks. And I think an underrated part of the story last night was San Antonio got the number two pick. But my thing here is, it's actually, people, just so you know, I guess there's a possibility they're committing fraud and risking going to prison. But if you assume that there's not actually an intentional fraud taking place, I think what they need to fix is, I think the worst teams in the league, I think they need to change the weighting. I think that you can create a system that, you know, certainly incentivizes less tanking at the end of the season, but also give those top two, three teams a better chance of ending up with a top two or three pick. And I just think that there need to be more combinations out of the 1,000 pulled for the worst teams. And it should be weighted just differently and just increase the chances, increase the odds of the worst teams getting better picks. Because here's the situation over the last few years, since 2019. Okay, 2019, the Pelicans had a 6% chance. They won 33 games the first year of this. They got Zion Williamson. Minnesota got Anthony Edwards. They were one of the worst teams. They were the third worst. Yeah. So and then 2021, the second worst team got the top pick. Detroit got Cade Cunningham. Orlando was the second worst. They got Banchero. The Spurs were the second worst. They got Wembanyama. But the last 2 years, the Hawks were the ninth worst team. They got number one overall. You know, Risache last year, number one. And the Mavericks were the 11th worst out of the 14 teams. They had a 1.8% chance, and they're going to get Cooper Flagg. And the Wizards, I don't know. Derek Queen's a possibility. We'll have plenty of time to preview the NBA draft. Caps got beat last night, and they deserved it. More on that next.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you get the schedule tomorrow, what's the first thing you look for? Your bye week? Is that, or your first week opponent? What do you do?
Probably the first week opponent first. Are you in the division, out of the division? Because for a long time, you've known who you played. So, after the draft, you start looking to see what teams have changed significantly. And then I would say after that, then the opener, then what is the next, few weeks layout look like until you get to the bye. But it is a fun day just because it makes it all kind of come into reality where things are. So it's a good topic for coaches and teams for a couple of days. And I think from the media side, it can probably extend a little past that.
Dan Quinn yesterday on with Rich Eisen talking about the first thing he looks for when the schedule breaks. So there have been some new reports, just to catch everybody up to speed. If you don't know, the actual schedule in its entirety comes out tonight. We will have a schedule show right here on the Team 980. Linnell will host that from 7 to 10. So right when Craig's show is over, Linnell will step into the seat and take you through schedule release night, where we'll get everything, and it will be official when it comes out. You know, we knew going into today, Madrid on November 16th. We knew heading into today, Philadelphia on December 20th at home. Nothing else did we know for sure. I had the news earlier this morning that Washington was going to play Dallas on Christmas Day. That will be a Netflix Christmas Day game at home against the Cowboys. I was told that it's more likely than not the first game of the triple header on Christmas Day. It could be 4:30, but it's definitely not the night game. I would lean towards it being the 1 o'clock game. We had reporting out of New York, a pretty solid source in New York reported earlier this morning that the Giants were going to open up in Washington. So that's another game that looks like there's pretty good consensus or validity around it. JP Finley, our good friend JP, just reported that Washington is going to play Chicago in week 6 on Monday Night Football at home, and they will close the season on the road at Philadelphia. Now, if those two are accurate, it's the latter that's most interesting to me. The idea that Washington won't play Philadelphia until week 16 and then would close two out of their last three games of the season being against the Eagles, wow, that's a surprise to me, because one of the reasons I didn't think that they would close with the Eagles this year is because the two games are so valuable against each other this year for television. Fox, we knew that one of those games would be on Fox. The December 20th game will be. But that you just risk, when you wait until week 18, you risk that, first of all, the teams aren't what you thought they were going to be. But the other risk is that one team, or maybe both teams, don't have anything to play for, and it's a meaningless game. So if true, that would be surprising to me. But I'm not saying it's not true. I totally believe JP. I'm just saying it's surprising that they would schedule it that way. I would have thought Philly-Washington would have been a Fox game. You know, I mocked it out Fox Week 16. I had that one right, just the wrong location. And then another game at some point, you know, in October or November on national TV in prime time. You know, Week 18 games are TBD games. That you don't know what time, we don't know what time or even what network it'll be shown on until the week before, until week 17 ends. And then they figure out which game gets flexed into Sunday night, which games are going to put on Saturday night, or Saturday and Saturday night. And then, yeah, that would be the biggest surprise of anything schedule-wise I've seen, is if two of the last three games of the season or against Philadelphia with the season finale. Certainly you set up the possibility, like Minnesota-Detroit last year, but they didn't think going into the schedule last year that Minnesota-Detroit to finish up the regular season was going to be for the one seed in the NFC. When they scheduled Minnesota and Detroit to play each other, Minnesota wasn't supposed to be very good. You know, if they really wanted their best chance, you know, for that division's best matchup, it would have been Detroit-Green Bay on the schedule. But Washington-Philly could be a blockbuster in Week 18, or it could be, yeah, Philly wrapped everything up, or let's hope Washington wrapped everything up. They have nothing to play for. You know, the Week 16 game, I can't see that game being meaningless. That game feels like, you know, a big game, and they put it as a standalone game on that Saturday, December 20th. So that's what we know so far. That's what I would put stock into. Definitely Madrid. Definitely, you know, December 20th against Philly. And I've got it on very good source, multiple confirmations from people in the know, that Washington's going to host Dallas on Christmas Day. I also mentioned Washington at Green Bay early in the season on Thursday Night Football. It looks like one of those leak sites put out that it's week two. I would certainly think that that is a very good chance to be accurate. And I mentioned that I see Washington and Kansas City playing on Monday Night Football at some point, you know, in the middle of the season, maybe in November, that time frame. And then we've got the Giant opener at home. No time on that game. I don't know if it's going to be the second half of the doubleheader. I would think Fox would have a sexier matchup in the 425 window. Maybe Washington Giants is a 1 o'clock season opener. Look for, you know, a Kansas City Monday night game at some point, followed by a trip to LA to face the Chargers. So look for that too. Just keep it here all day. There's going to be a lot of, man, this thing just can't wait for the actual show anymore. It just can't. The last few years, it's been insanity in terms of, you know, the leaks coming out. Not all of them are right. You know, our guy, Mike North, who came on with us in mid-April, said, anybody that thinks they know anything until it's actually done is fake news. Well, it's done now. We've already had games released. But again, thinking about Washington, pretty good chance it's Giants, pretty good chance it's Packers, Giants at home in the season opener, pretty good chance week two at Packers. JP had Bears week six on Monday Night Football. We know Dolphins is locked in Madrid. We know Eagles on December 20th at home is locked in. I am very confident that what I broke earlier today, Dallas on Christmas Day, is locked in. And then JP's got finishing at Philly. I don't like two games against I want one of those Eagles games to be, you know, in the heart of the football season. Saving two out of the last 3 weeks, the two teams that were in the NFC title game last year, it's an odd scheduling quirk if it turns out to be true. So they would go Eagles on a Saturday, Cowboys on a Christmas Day, and then they'd get, you know, kind of that mini bye until the final weekend of the season to go to Philadelphia. That would be one where I would bet the schedule makers somehow just landed on that and they didn't like it, but they didn't have any other choice, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're convinced Washington at Philadelphia, that's going to be the game in Week 18. Could be two great teams, but it could be two teams that have already locked up their playoff fate and their playoff seeding. That's possible, too. Man, we are having conversations, playoff locked up, playoff seeding in Week 18 that we just have never had before heading into this season. All right, there's some more Dan Quinn from The Rich Eisen Show that I thought you'd want to hear. This was Quinn talking about JD5, as in Jaden Daniels, number five, as a competitor.
And how much do you instill that sort of stuff in Jaden Daniels? Again, I'm sorry to keep on, you know, turning to one guy, but you know the world, right? And in this league, the quarterback-driven league. I mean, how do you install that enrichment into somebody who is already so talently enriched, right? How do you do that?
I think the secret sauce of Jaden, like, he already is this rare competitor, Rich. And so that's the thing maybe you don't know about somebody until you spend that much time with him. But there is no flinch in Jaden Daniels. Like, he already is a rare competitor. And you added the innate talent to it. So I don't think it's the other way around with him, like this innately talented person. And then you had the competitiveness. I think the competitiveness for him came first. As talented as he is, and even as good as his legs are, he'd be a tremendous, just pure pocket passer. But when he gets outside the pocket and now he's a dual threat, man, he is lethal. But that competitive side of him, he's in the rare company, Rich, of the best of the best. And that's all the unseen work that goes in of him getting ready for those moments that he had. Like, he had practiced those so many times. There was nothing by coincidence with that.
you know, it, this was like the first thing that they started to talk about, you know, with Jaden Daniels, is that he is a special competitor. Man, we got, knock on wood, they got it right, man. They got it right on every front. They got the talent right. They got the fit for today's football right. They got the gym rat work ethic right. They got the guy that's smart. They got the guy that's highly competitive. They got everything right about this one. And it's been a long time since we could say that about a key player picked super high in the draft. There was a lot of failure at that number two spot in the draft. But wow, you know, just, you know, even as we sit here after the fact, he focuses, Quinn does, on the intangible stuff, the non-football stuff, as much as he does anything else. He was asked about, there were a couple of follow-up questions to that on Jaden Daniels from Rich Eisen. I want you to hear those.
So do you stoke it? Stay out of the way?
Yes, just, and absolutely.
What do you do?
Throw gas on it.
You throw gas on it.
Yes, because that also raises the level of, you know, competitiveness of all his teammates, of the organization, and we really stand for that here. And so from, you know, Adam first through me to the team, like, that is what we're about. And we love that. We try to find that in others and reward it and embellish it to let them know this is who they are. And there's so many unique players here on this team, Rich. That we wouldn't talk about on a show, but that have huge roles and impacts here, and the type of teammates they are. Like, not every player is going to be great like Jaden. Man, like, you can be a great teammate, and it's part of what makes coaching this team so much fun. Like, there's a hell of a group of guys here together that are really battling for it. So that part makes coaching this team so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, McLaurin obviously is an OG. My guy Sanders still from Michigan is another, is a young guy now in his second year as well from that draft class. I mean, I could go on. That's why it is so exciting in your area. But I'll take one last bite at this apple before letting you on with the rest of your day. You got a good example of how you stoked it with Jaden Daniels, because again, he's so even keel. I wouldn't even know what it looks like when he's stoked. You know what I mean? Like, what do you got a good example of you doing that, Dan?
Oh yeah, there's plenty. I can think back to the end of last season. Outside for a lot of 27, 28 degree practices, and you know, reminding him, hey, maybe inside today, Q, not a chance, bro. We were outside team in the NFC East, and he would proceed to go outside, and a number of practices like that from the offensive side, the ball did not hit the ground. So that was his way of showing, yeah, I'm ready for anything. And those are the moments that I think about a lot with him.
So he's like, you know, it's cold, let's go indoors. And you're like, nope, you're in the NFC East. Let's see you do
that
it.
That is correct.
Kid. And he's like, and I'll show you, we're not going to have the ball hit the ground.
That was Quinn yesterday with Rich Eisen. I thought that last question, because I had not heard the answer yet. Max cut this stuff up. I thought he was going to mention that Atlanta game. The Atlanta game when he was near exhaustion, you know, at the end of that game in overtime. And what a drive that was. I mean, there were so many moments, but that drive in overtime where, you know, he ran, you know, on that first down into the first and goal situation, and Mariota kind of came out and during a time. I mean, there were moments there, and he had to take his breath. Remember, after a timeout, they needed a timeout just so he could get his breath. I'm pulling up that last drive because I want to know how many yards he ran for. I forget how many yards he ran for. Scrambled for 7. So that's 7. Keeper for 7, 14 yards rushing. Scrambled for 16, 30 yards rushing. Scrambled for no gain, 30. Scrambled for 6, 36, and then threw the touchdown pass. It was after that last scramble on 2nd and goal at the 8. He got down to the 2-yard line, and that was when Mariota came out, talked to him, and he went back out there and threw the touchdown pass to Zach Ertz for the game winner. That was, man, what a game that Falcon game was from him. 127 yards rushing on 16 carries, 36 of them coming in overtime on that drive. Oh, by the way, threw three touchdown passes as well in the game. What a season he had. And now highly profiled in season two. We got a lot of the games. You've heard a lot of them. Right now, what we seem to be locked in on is at home against Giants in the opener, at Packers week two on Thursday Night Football, a week six game against the Bears on Monday Night Football, Madrid week 11 against the Dolphins, week 16 at home on December 20th on a Saturday against the Eagles, Cowboys on Christmas Day at FedEx at Northwest Stadium, and then a season ender at Philly. Your thoughts on what we're hearing so far about the schedule. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you still want to see? What are you hoping to see pop up when the actual schedule comes out? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, more schedule news rolls throughout the day. The Washington Commanders will reportedly open their season against the New York Giants, and according to Kevin Sheehan, they will play the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas, and according to J.P. Finley, they will close out their season in Philly against the Philadelphia Eagles. The full schedule release show with Linnell Willingham tonight, right after Craig Hoffman's show, right here on the Team 980. That's 7 p.m. The Nats extend their losing streak to 7 games. They fall to Atlanta 5-2. The NBA Pacers, they close out the Cleveland Cavaliers 114-105. Pacers had 5 players score 10 or more points. Tyrese Halliburton led them with 31. The Nuggets fall to the Thunder 112-105. It's not for a lack of trying, though. Nikola Jokic had 44 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. Shea, on the other side, put up a well-rounded 31-6-7. The Caps, they are off tonight. They will take on the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow. Lars Eller will draw out of the lineup, and McMichael will move to center. Taylor Radish will be in, and as will Ryan Leonard. Their backs are against the wall. Caps are looking to stave off elimination. That'll be tomorrow night at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start?
Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeah, and with it, they snapped a 7-game losing skid last night, beating the Braves 5-4. Kyle Finnegan with a solid ninth inning to bring the Nats home. James Wood is having a season, people. If you're not following this right now, last night 2-for-4 with that RBI. But right now, he is top 10, top 15 in a number of statistical categories in the National League. He is heading for certainly the Nats All-Star appearance if they only end up with one, and really looks like a budding superstar. Cruz, by the way, also last night 2-for-4 with an RBI. It was nice to see the Nats snap out of what was not only a 7-game losing skid, but a couple of those games, especially going back to the Cleveland and St. Louis series, I mean, were one-sided. Nats sitting there right now through roughly 40-something games. What are they right now? 18 and 26, so 44 games. They are 10 games back. They're in fourth place in the National League East. Good morning, everybody. The Caps will try to stay alive tonight in a Game 5 situation, down 3-1 against Carolina. Maybe the extra day rest will give them some boost, but they need it tonight to try to force a Game 6 back in Raleigh. There was a bunch of NBA activity last night, including a team that may have lost its best player, arguably its best player, but isn't dead yet in Boston. Golden State done. Minnesota is surging. Jimmy Butler was a no-show last night. But none of that matters as much as the NFL schedule is complete. It's official. It is out. I have to say that I found yesterday to be insanely active, but also a bit building towards what became the actual 8 o'clock release of the schedule and something that felt very anticlimactic. I don't think the league cares about it necessarily. The discussion of the schedule now, the number of dedicated social media sites and, Twitter, X, handles that are doing nothing but talking schedule and working their asses off to try to leak things that are accurate. I felt like the accuracy of some of the leaks this year was more accurate than ever before. I mean, we had by 8 o'clock last night much of, if not most, of the schedule. Now, I don't know how much of it was absolutely solid in terms of the reporting and the leakage, but by the time we got to 8 o'clock, there was little drama left. I mean, seeing it all laid out, there were a couple of spots here and there that you were wondering about, but we got the schedule. We knew yesterday what some of the games were, but now we know what Washington's schedule and the entire NFL schedule looks like in its entirety. So let me begin with some specific to our team schedule discussion. I think the most important thing in looking at this schedule is two things. One, you really don't know. It's not who you play, it's when you play those teams. The NFL, as we've talked about for years, isn't year to year, month to month. It is week to week. It doesn't matter who you play, it's when you play them. You may be catching them injured, without their best players, without their best quarterback. Now, they did that twice with Dallas last year, and they were only able to win one of the two games. But getting a break in terms of when you play teams that look daunting on paper in May, but may not be so when you get there. Look, anybody that had Washington on its schedule last year chalked it up as a W when the schedule came out. Any decent team. This year, you'll chalk it up as a loss in a lot of cases, and that may or may not be wrong. So number one is you really go through the exercise all you want. Win, loss, loss, win, 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 loss. It just is the most unpredictable thing to do. We know this about the NFL each year. You end up with roughly 50% of the teams that are in the postseason being teams that weren't in the postseason the year before or weren't really expected to be in the postseason in that particular year. It's just a very unpredictable league. It's not the, you know, the NHL playoffs. Okay, it's not that, but it's very unpredictable. So that's number one. Number two is this. There is one thing regarding the layout of the games, because we knew the games going into yesterday. We knew who their opponents were. We knew where the games would be played. We just didn't know for sure, with the exception of some of the games that had been announced, like the Madrid game and the Philadelphia game in Week 16. We just didn't know when, where, what time. And that there is some ability there now, knowing where you're playing, who you're playing, and at what time and on what date, to determine what's called net rest days during the course of a season compared to the rest of the league. Warren Sharp does this complete NFL net rest day study. It's not out yet, at least I don't think it's out. He'll probably have it out, you know, in a few hours or maybe in a few days. But for those that don't know, net rest is how many days are you at an advantage leading into the game against your next opponent, or at a disadvantage based on rest time. Example, if you play on a Sunday and the team you're playing next week is playing on Monday night, that is a positive one-day advantage in rest. They're going on short week after Monday night football. You're going on a full week. You have a plus one in net rest days. However, if you're playing on a Sunday and the team you play next Sunday is on a bye week, well, then you're at a minus 7-day advantage, disadvantage. And so, you know, when you add it all up over the course of the year, what we've seen in recent years is teams with negative net rest days over a 17-game schedule end up doing worse than teams with positive net rest days. Rest is everything. Travel is actually a little bit overrated. Rest is the most important thing. And while I don't have the results of, you know, Washington's compared to everybody else's, there are a couple of things that are alarming about the rest day number, because it certainly seems like it is headed towards a net rest negative for Washington this year. Why do I say that? Well, they are playing four teams this year, four games this year in which their opponent is coming off a bye week. They play the Bears on Monday Night Football in Week 6. Now, Monday Night Football means Washington's getting an extra day, but the Bears have a bye week the week before. So they will have a significant net rest day advantage over Washington heading into that game. They play Seattle in Week 9 on Sunday Night Football. Seattle has a bye week the week before. They play Denver in November, Week 12. Denver's got a bye week the week before. Now, in that particular case, it's Washington's bye week as well. They did get the bye week after Madrid. There was no guarantee they were going to get a bye week after the international game. That's not a guarantee anymore, but they did get it. But it's the same bye week that their opponent has in Denver. So there's no advantage gained in that. And then they play the Giants in Week 15 on the road, and the Giants are coming off their bye week. So there are they've got four teams coming off a bye week, and in three of those games, Washington will be at a significant net rest disadvantage. There is a game in Week 7 against the Cowboys in which they'll play Dallas, with Dallas coming off they'll play Dallas The week after they play the Bears on Monday Night Football, Dallas played Sunday, so Washington will have a net rest -1 day advantage there. I haven't gone through the rest of it, but they do have other Monday Night games, like against the Chiefs, and their next opponent after the Chiefs is the Seahawks, and the Washington will have a -1 day. Wait. We've already mentioned that. Seattle coming off that bye week in week 9. So they'll play that. Washington coming off Monday Night Football. So not only does Washington have to go to Seattle, have to host Seattle, but they have to do so after a Monday Night game with the Seahawks coming off a bye week. So that's a big takeaway from the schedule. And again, when the actual full study comes out and you see what Washington's net rest advantage or disadvantage is compared to the rest of the league, then we can really talk about it. Is it a hurtful schedule? It seems like it's leading towards being a hurtful schedule in terms of rest days. Now, with respect to the rest of the schedule, I love the fact that, you know, essentially three of their first four games, they're going to be sizable favorites in, more likely than not. I guessed, Max, as you know, I guessed Washington would be an 8.5-point favorite against the Giants in week 1. I was a bit off. They're a 7-point favorite in that game. Man, when you get to the point where we are, which is assuming Washington's going to be an 8.5-point favorite against anybody, and you're disappointed when they're only a 7-point favorite.
What a world.
You know that times have changed.
What a world.
Times have changed. But they'll be favored over the Giants. They'll probably be a short dog in week 2 on a short week against Green Bay and Lambeau. Then they come home against the Raiders, more likely than not to be a favorite. And then on the road against the Falcons, more likely than not to be a favorite. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe the Falcons are 3-0 at that point, and Washington's 1-2. Who knows? You know, you go through the schedule. Washington, I haven't done this yet, but I will do it. I could do it right here and tell you right now. Washington's going to be favored on paper going into the season in more games than they've ever been favored in a long, long time. I mean, probably going back to the 92 season, maybe the 2000 season, because they were a significant, you know, Super Bowl contender that year. That's the last time there were any legitimate Super Bowl aspirations heading into a season. But they're going to be favored in more games than they've been favored in probably in 25 years. Anyway, I digress. You know, I like the start, 3 1 o'clock games in the first four, and then they don't play another 1 o'clock game until December 7th. They basically go through the entirety of October and November without a 1 o'clock game. Now, you do have flexing ability. You know, they could get flexed out of a big spot. I doubt that'll happen that early. And, you know, there's a backwards flex, too. There's the forward flex into a big spot, but you're also, at times, in a big spot where you get flexed out of it because it's not as attractive a game, and you end up in a 1 o'clock window. But I don't see that happening for this team, not that early in the season, not in October, you know, maybe by the time we get to November. But I like the start. Again, it's not who you play, it's when you play them, you know. But the beginning of the season, if these teams look like they look like right now, Washington will be favored in 3 out of the first 4, and they got a chance to start the season really well. So I like that. I also kind of like that they're not, you know, in major primetime spots to start the season. Week 2, Thursday night, you know, at Lambeau is a big spot, but 1 o'clock games against the Giants, Raiders, and Falcons. Then there's this stretch starting in October on the West Coast, only real significant trip they have to take. You know, only West Coast trip, only Mountain time zone or West Coast time zone, Pacific time zone trip they have to make. But you got at Chargers, followed by a Monday night game against the Bears, coming off a bye, the Bears coming off a bye in the rematch of the Hail Mary game. Then on short week, you got to go to Dallas to play a highlighted 425 window game on Fox in week 7. Then it's at Arrowhead the following Monday night to face the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you're home against Seattle. We don't know what Seattle will look like with Darnold this year on Sunday Night Football. And then it's Detroit and Madrid against the Dolphins. Pretty, you know, a stretch in which, look, they're going to be favored in some of those games, for sure. But I think that is a tough stretch for them. And then I move to the end of the season. Four division opponents to end the season. And two of the final three against Philadelphia. I mentioned this on the show yesterday, but for me, the thing that I would have never guessed, and by the way, if you're wondering, my mock was very much a success for mock schedules. I actually nailed two games exactly right. I got Detroit on November 9th at 4:25 exactly right, and I got Madrid exactly right. I was also off by a week in three other games, and I, you know, had the Bears on Monday Night Football, the Chiefs on I had on Sunday Night Football, they're on Monday Night Football. I had Seattle on Monday Night Football, they're on Sunday Night Football. So I nailed some of the primetime opponents. So it was actually, and I had the Eagles correct in Week 16. I had three basically exactly right, without question, Detroit and Miami. And then I had Philadelphia in Week 16. I just had it as a home game. They've got it as a road game. But that aside, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles to finish up the season. It doesn't make sense to me that they scheduled at Philadelphia for the last game of the season. For the league and for the networks, that is putting great risk into that matchup, which would have been a heavyweight matchup made for primetime TV in October or November, or on opening night. You know, they were certainly, I'm sure, considered for opening night at Philadelphia. Instead, putting it in Week 18, we know this as NFL fans. Week 18 matchups, more times than not, there is a team or sometimes two teams matched up against each other that have nothing to play for, whether it's because they're done or whether it's because they've clinched and their seeding can't be impacted. I can't believe they took one of the two Washington-Philadelphia games, rematches of the NFC title game last year, and they put one of them at great risk of being meaningless. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. That's why I predicted that they'd finish with the Giants this year and that the Eagles might finish with the Cowboys. At Philly to close the season, I look at it this way from Washington's standpoint. There's a chance it doesn't mean anything for both teams, and so you take one of those games that on paper into the season looks daunting, and you would say you're going to be an underdog in that game, and it's a complete question mark game. Beneficial to Washington. Now, is there a chance that game's going to be for the division and the one seed? Of course, that's what the NFL is hoping. But more times than not, you get to that Week 18, and with good teams going in, somebody's clinched something and doesn't have something to play for. But yeah, it would be great if you had two 14-2 teams matching up for the one seed in the NFC postseason, like Minnesota-Detroit did in the final game of the year last year. That game got flexed into the Sunday night spot. Detroit murdered Minnesota, but you had two, you know, you had a 15-win team, you had a 14-win team, or was it two 14-win teams? Was that matchup 14-2 and 14-2? Minnesota finished 14-3. What did Detroit finish up? 15-2?
I want to say that's right.
Yes, yeah, so, but when you think about it from a scheduling standpoint, a year ago, they didn't schedule Detroit and Minnesota in the final week of the season thinking that would be a game for the NFC North title, because it was Green Bay who was supposed to be the big-time challenge to Detroit and vice versa, not Minnesota. Minnesota was a surprise team last year. So that is a surprise to me, but I actually think there's a chance it could work in Washington's favor. I mean, you get Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football in Week 6 or Week 9 or Week 10, you know that is going to be a massive matchup, more likely than not when you get there. You don't know that about Week 18. You don't. So I'm surprised that the league did that. I'm going to have the guy that we had on the show in mid-April, Mike North, on the show again. He promised me that he would come on after the schedule was out to talk about, you know, how some decisions were reached. I didn't ask him for today. I'm not going to do that. I'm sure he's very busy, but we'll try to get him, you know, on next week. But that, to me, is the biggest head-scratcher. You know, you could say, well, you know, Dallas-Philly, if you put Washington in New York, that's taking away a Dallas-Philly game. Understood. By the way, just so everybody understands, Week 18, all division matchups. That's been the case now for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe longer. You know, they went to all division matchups in Week 18. Every division, the four teams in each division, they play head-to-head division games in Week 18. So maybe they didn't want to take a Dallas-Philly game away from, you know, a potential massive matchup. They obviously have the opening week in Philly, Cowboys-Eagles, and then they have a November 425 game on Fox against the Eagles and Cowboys in Dallas. By the way, the Cowboys have a stretch in November where they go Eagles at home on Sunday, November 23rd. 4 days later, Thanksgiving at home against the Chiefs. And then the following Thursday night at Detroit. That's brutal. At least right now, it looks brutal. That's one that I'm curious about. Because I bet they really wrestled with, are we going to give, you know, are we going to give Washington the Giants versus the Eagles? And if that happens, then you're going to get the, you know, you're going to get an Eagles Cowboys matchup that has great risk. And maybe they looked at it and said, there's a better chance Washington Philadelphia will mean something in Week 18 than Dallas Philly. Maybe. They could have gone with Washington Dallas. So that would have been four straight years that they would have finished up against each other. But that was really, that's the gist of it for me. You know, five primetime games, three standalone games. I think we all understood that they were going to get a slew of primetime games. I actually had them in six with two standalone games. But they've got the five primetime with the standalone against the Dolphins in Madrid, the standalone on Saturday, December 20th at home against Philadelphia, and the standalone on Christmas Day against the Cowboys. I have a quick question, Max. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but maybe somebody does. And if you do, call us at 301-230-0980 or tweet me at Kevin Sheehan DC. Over the years, all of the pay games, you know, whether it was cable or streaming like Amazon, NFL Network games for sure, all got shown by a local over-the-air broadcast station in the market for the teams that were playing in the game. So if Washington was playing on Thursday Night Football on Amazon, it would be on Amazon, but it would also be on, you know, CBS or NBC or, you know, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, or Channel 9. I wonder if that's the case with Netflix games. I'm wondering if you don't have Netflix.
Don't think so.
Are you going to have to pay for it if you're a Washington or Dallas fan to see that game on Christmas Day?
Given with how the NFL's been doing this, I think they're going to force fans to pony up the dough.
But they typically don't. That's what I'm saying. So last year's Christmas Day Netflix games, maybe we can see. Who did the Ravens play? They played somebody. Houston? What was it?
Yeah.
Or was it the Steelers?
No, Steelers. It was Steelers-Chiefs, Ravens-Texans.
Okay, so Ravens-Texans. I'll look it up during the break to see if Ravens-Texans had an option to watch the game locally in Baltimore and in Houston. I was just curious about that because not everybody has Netflix. It certainly would be a reason to pay for it, though. Washington and Dallas on Christmas Day. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What you took away from this schedule, you know, areas that you like, areas that you don't like, areas that you would wish you had seen. And we'll go with this. Go ahead and give me your season prediction after the schedule comes out. I don't like doing it, but I will tell you what I think the range is. Look, their over-under number is 9.5. So we can just go with, are you over or under now that we've seen a full off-season, most of an off-season, still could be more to come, and now that you know what the schedule is, are you over 9.5 wins or under 8.5 wins? And your big takeaways from the schedule, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're live and streaming on YouTube's Team 980 page, although not right now because we're having some technical difficulties. But you can watch us on most days.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.